Welcome to episode 282 of the 10-10 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 10-10 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson, 10-10 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living.
Today's top 10 list.
10 lessons from the book of James.
Number 1.
Rejoice in trials. James 1 verses 2 to 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. James calls us to rejoice in our suffering. Trials serve God's purpose in our lives by giving us an opportunity to turn what we believe into action. Faith comes alive when we exercise trust and joy in God's presence in our lives. Rejoicing in your trials becomes easier when you can focus on the reason for your hope.
Number 2.
Resist temptation. James 1 verses 13 to 15. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he's lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Desire is a strong motivator in our lives, and temptation plays it like a bow on a fiddle. It's as if it knows exactly which string to pluck at just the right moment. It's tempting to respond with hatred to the person who makes your life miserable because an eye for an eye just feels right. When this occurs, be aware that your temptations are playing on the desire for revenge, and revenge does not glorify God. What does glorify God is overlooking an offense instead. Does it glorify God when you choose that shortcut? When you decide to do that thing to make yourself feel better? When you listen to that person whom you know does not have your best interests at heart? Be aware of the tricks of temptation and don't be deceived.
Number 3.
Rest in God. James 1 verses 21 to 22. Therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Resting in God is not passive, but full of action, and maybe even adventure. James instructs us that living righteously involves getting rid of moral filth and evil in our lives. When our spirit is awakened to God's truth, and we choose to do nothing with it, our hearts are clogged with unrest. We must decide to live righteously, but then we must act on that choice and follow through. Examine your life for areas where you know you may not be applying God's principles for living right before Him. And as you make the changes to live righteously, your heart will know rest.
Number 4.
Accept others. James 2 verses 12 to 13. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. James tells us when we show favoritism, we have discriminated against ourselves and become judges with evil thoughts. What do you do when you meet a cranky man in the store? Do we ignore him but smile at the woman with the cute toddler because she seems more approachable? Both people need an encounter with the living God who is alive in you. Remember how God has accepted you, and then extend that acceptance to all. Mercy triumphs over judgment. You have received mercy, now extend it to others.
Number 5.
Accept others. James 2 verse 22. You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. James features Abraham and Isaac as proof that faith and actions work together to make faith complete. Would it have been faith if Abraham had waited to obey God before he provided the sacrifice? It's obedience that grows, strengthens, and enlivens our faith. It takes faith to step out into the unknown as an act of obedience. But our faith grows as God shows up in our obedience. Do you believe God enough to obey Him in faith? He will equip, provide, and come through for you. Serve others as an act of obedience to God, and then watch your faith be strengthened.
Number 6.
Control your tongue. Our words have the power to bring life or destruction. If with your speech you praise God and curse man, how can you truly say that your faith has changed your life? Let God redeem your speech by thinking before you speak.
Number 7.
Pursue godly wisdom. James 3, verses 17 to 18. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Earlier in chapter 3, James talks about the tongue being the untamable member of your body. If that is the case, then what must you do? The bridle for our tongues starts in our hearts, moves in our minds, and comes out of our mouths. A changed heart is a heart refined by God's wisdom, which is what gives us the right words to say at the right time. Choose God's wisdom and let what resides in your heart be pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, merciful, good, impartial, and sincere. As you pursue godly wisdom, your heart changes.
Number 8.
Submit to God. James 4, verses 7 to 8. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Our God is the God of love and victory, and the way to experience that love and victory is through submitting to Him. If we want to live from a place of victory, then we must submit to our commander-in-chief, which means that we might actually have to remove certain behaviors or patterns of thought from our lives. Submission leads us into a deeper grace with God because it requires us to humble ourselves before Him. God gives grace to the humble and opposes the proud.
Number 9.
Be patient in suffering. Maturing in faith requires patience and perseverance when we suffer. But who wants to be patient in their suffering? We run to the closest thing that gives us relief. We numb our emotions with food, drink, shopping, entertainment, and the pursuit of pleasure. But when the numbness wears away, we feel the suffering again, so we run back to our vices. We could learn much from Naomi. She owned her suffering. She entered into it and didn't try to numb it away. We call her blessed because she persevered, but she also called herself blessed because God redeemed her suffering. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in trusting God. God is moving even when we can't see Him.
Number 10.
Pray in faith. James references Elijah as an ordinary man who God used to accomplish the extraordinary. In 1 Kings 17, Elijah prayed and God answered, stopping any rainfall for 3 years. Pray when you're sad, happy, mad, joyful, hurt, or pleased. Confess your weaknesses to a trusted Bible-believing friend and ask for prayer. Confession stops shame's power, and the prayer of faith brings healing. You might be ordinary, but you serve an extraordinary God who longs to rise up within you to do extraordinary things through you. Father, thank you for these lessons from the book of James. May these ideas find fruit in our hearts as we grow in our knowledge of and commitment to you. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.